EXO Takeover.
Hey guys, we are back. Did you miss me? Did you miss us? EXO Takeover Season 2. We are finally here. We have made it to tomorrow. And what a better way to kick off the new season with the one, the only, Abel Tesfaye now just playing.
Oh,
Abel.
Welcome
to the show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. We made it to tomorrow. We made it like 3 days after tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow is still not tomorrow. You know? I don't know.
We've got the hats to prove it as well.
We're ready. We've been ready. Yes.
So, as this is season two, we are taking things up a notch. We've got the new setup.
Love it.
Better quality videos. We listened. We've learned. We're getting it sorted. And obviously, Hurry Up Tomorrow is here. So we have got brand new questions to ask the special guests every Sunday for the next 10 weeks. You've got 10 weeks of us this time.
That's amazing. So,
for those who are new or may not know who you are, do you want to give a bit of an introduction to yourself, Abel?
My name's Abel Hernandez. Yes, really, Abel. I just turned 27 years old. A lot of you guys know me for, you know, a lot of work that I do with Georgia and, you know, a lot of, you know, jumping around. I guess you can see following us, you know, everything going on. But yeah, a lot of you guys know me as, you know, the artist that just, I just be doing a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I'm always just very creative in any way in which I can work with anybody and, yeah, just put out some great stuff. That's just where I'm at. Like, I've been a huge fan since, and I'm sure we're going to get into all of that. We're going to dive deep into all of that, too. But yeah, I've been a fan since 2011. But for sure, 2012. And I say that because my first CD I ever bought. All right, we're going to go straight into it. I know you got questions for me, but just a little throwback. The first CD I ever bought was the Take Care CD. And I know a lot of people are going to be okay, yeah. But yes, back then, 2012, first CD was the Take Care CD. So obviously went through all that album. But there was somebody in there that kept, like, you know, grabbing my ear each time. And then it was around that same time that my cousin had put me on to The Weeknd himself. I think I was helping him clean his room one time, and I just remember Gone playing, and it was just this constant, you know, crazy sound. Then the bass came in, and I literally was just like, what was that? Like, what did I just come across? And, you know, he's like, you don't know who that is? Like, that's The Weeknd, dude. He was so big on him at the time. Yeah, just the fact that he kind of put me on in that very moment, literally brought us here, is crazy.
Is it still?
That was the very, you guys just heard the very beginning to my, you know, to the beginning of all this, basically. The origin.
Is your cousin still a fan?
Yeah, I would say he definitely, like, he's a big music head in general. So anything comes out, he's always listening still. But he definitely loves seeing Abel's, you know, obviously he's a lot more older now. And he's been doing a whole bunch of other stuff, but the fact that he could still come back and then listen to a Weeknd project and then just kind of go back to that place at times and, you know, to those moments, I'm sure, like, makes him feel nostalgic every time he goes into a new project. So I haven't caught up with him yet to see if he heard this project yet. So it'll be a great conversation next time as well.
So, speaking of conversations, yeah. That's why we're here. To talk about the brand new Hurry Up Tomorrow, which is out now. So, I want to just kick off with a basic question. What is your thoughts on the album?
My thoughts on the album?
Yeah.
There is, so part of me wants to say it's very deep and very layered. And then part of me wants to say it's so easily digestible. And I feel like that makes it, in a sense, open to everybody. You know, whether you're a big fan or just someone who just came along the ride recently, you know, it was so deep in the sense that where if you've been around for a while, you probably picked up on everything. You've probably picked up on all the little samples and the little tweaks and sounds that you're like, yo, that was some old stuff right there. That was old trilogy, or that was from this time. But even if you're like newer, you still get like a really crazy project from an artist that, again, you might have just came across. It still challenges your, you know, what you've heard recently, but it's still very easily digestible to the point where he doesn't have to go too crazy lyrically to get you to feel something, you know? And I think the production on this made that very easy as well. Like, when you feel a way during this album, it's because that production carried you through it, you know? Hence why we got like 20-second songs that are like, what the heck? What was that? We've never had that before. You know, songs in between an album that are literally seconds. Like, I think it begs the question, like, what in a sense were those put there for? You know? But I do think they're almost like cue points to guide you and get you back on track. So, yeah, all in all, this project to me has been incredible. And with every listen, you just peel layer by layer. And I'm like, okay. Now I really get what he meant when he said this. You know, production off rip is just insane. Like, there's like no other way around it. Like, he had the best of the best on this project, and it didn't disappoint. Like, it's one of those things where like you think there's too many chefs in the kitchen, so something's gonna mess up, and it's just like they all brought like the perfect amount to every track, to the entire project. And then Abel obviously is Abel. So, you know. But yeah, all in all, this project's been like so amazing to just uncover. You know, there's so much to it. We have a whole movie as well. So it's like, you know, how much of this ties into that? You know, is the shirt you have on a picture from that movie, as now the rumors are showing? Like, was it part of the movie the whole time? You know, so it's pretty amazing to see this thing like unfolding. And I think it's definitely just makes this whole thing more fun, because we thought getting the album was tomorrow. We thought getting the album was it, but it's like there still feels like there's some more there. That's literally little by little, every day, every week, moving forward, we're still gonna get stuff.
So how would you describe, I feel like you already may have, but how would you describe the overall vibe of Hurry Up Tomorrow?
Overall vibe of Hurry Up Tomorrow. That's the thing. It's like with certain albums, I think you can feel the theme very clearly. And I feel like with this album, he's making a choice. He's making a very big decision with the album. And I think we've all come to terms that he's on a spiritual journey of some sort, and he's trying to make the right decisions at the end of the day. And I feel like that's what this album does to you, is it doesn't sound very clear cut to the sense where, you know, this is the sound. It sounds like it's this, and then it's this, and then it's this. So it's very confusing in a good way. You know, it's conceptually, it's how do you create a project that has a lot of this and make it sound good, you know, and then wrap it up with a bow at the end, you know. But overall, the vibe, I just think that when we get towards the highs of the album, we're high. And then when we get low, there's like some really dark lows, you know, and they seem very honest. Like they seem very clear cut and just like, you know, they're not crazy, I would say, lyrically. Like he says it in a certain way that's, you know, crazy. But I just feel like it's so much more vulnerable, so much more blunt and just clear. And this is what I'm going through, and this is what it is. There's no other way around it. I'm just letting you guys know. So overall, it's just very clear cut. And when it's high, it's high. When it's low, it's low. Yeah, very deep.
So would you agree that if I said that the main central theme of the album is growth and acceptance, would you agree with that?
I would say, yeah. I very much think that at this point, you can only go in circles so many times before you stop and realize you've been going in circles, you know? And even with him, I think it's like he's been going in circles, but he's been growing along the way. So it's almost like a spiral going upwards of like, okay, I'm at a new level, but you just did the same thing though. And again, I'm not saying all the albums sound the same at all, but it's just more so when you step back objectively, even farther, you know, and look at him as a character itself, it's like, you've been this character the whole time, you know, and that's a beautiful thing because you've done it so well. But all that aside, it's like, what else do you have? What else can you do? And I think you can't have that without that growth or that realization of like, okay, I've been playing in this lane, in this field, this entire time, and I think I've perfected it. I think I've done everything perfectly so many times, and I've proved it, and it's like he reinvented the wheel like 8 times, and they all worked. Like, they usually tell you, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, they all worked, and they all worked in his favor. But I do think, too, it's like that realization of like, okay, well, what do I have aside from this? You know, he even mentions like, leave somewhat of a legacy, you know, because the reality is like, what did you really leave behind? If anything happened to him at any point prior to 2 years ago, would he have been satisfied with that life? I think that's a huge question. I think that's a huge question. Is from the, you know, from 2 years ago to now, from when he lost his voice to now, you know, so much has happened, and he obviously talks about it. And I think he realized like, damn, if I don't have this, what else do I have? You know, and I want to leave something behind other than my great grandfather was a musician, was one of the greatest musicians, you know, which is a beautiful thing to have. But it's like, what else? Because we know he can do a lot more. So I will say the sense of growth is, you know, I would say there's a sense of maturity for sure. Because it takes a lot of discipline and maturity to realize what you're going through and self-awareness, you know, to realize what you're going through and own it and say, you know what, we're choosing not to do that anymore. All of Dawn FM, you know, I know temptation is the devil in disguise. It was always there. It's just the temptations. They've always been there. There's always that sense of that the Weeknd is going to be lurking, trying to pull him back. He's like, no, I want to do more things in life. I will say as Abel Tesfaye, he's growing for sure. I would say as for the Weeknd, he doesn't want that to happen. I think it's a fair thing to say. In the album, he does say he's no longer bonded to his body. So I think that was a dope way of putting it as well.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned legacy. Do you think this has really solidified that legacy? Or do you think his legacy was already up there before we reached Tomorrow?
So I think he would be proud in knowing that the Weeknd character, the Weeknd's legacy, because again, now they're separate. So now the Weeknd has, as of right now, well, until I guess the album comes out, you know, because technically the Weeknd's still alive, you know, he's still in the mix. But, you know, until then, or if ever, until the Weeknd's gone, like, I do think that legacy, he can be perfectly okay with knowing I've gone out on my peak. Like, I've completely perfected everything as this character, from the Super Bowl to the performances to the award shows to the biggest tours, like, perfected. Were there hiccups? Of course. But like, as the singer, songwriter, the Weeknd, this character, I think he's satisfied with that. I think he solidified that. But I do think his legacy in general, like, bro, he's just getting started. He's got so much that he can pivot towards and put that creative energy into. And if this movie is as big as it, you know, has potential to be, I think, you know, this is just the biggest intro to, like, phase two in his life. He's basically reborn as this new, you know, okay, now I'm taking on, you know, movies. Directed by Abel Tesfaye. This isn't directed by The Weeknd. We're not doing that. The Weeknd's over there. But Abel Tesfaye, director. You know, producer, executive producer. So I will say his legacy is solidified as The Weeknd. To answer your question, legacy as The Weeknd, solidified. It's perfected. A perfect discography. It's just everything. But as far as him, you can't. You think you could stop that man? He said he wasn't gonna do features, and look what he did. He dropped like the best, some of the best features ever. Like We Still Don't Trust You was my biggest song last year.
I do want to mention about features. Which feature surprised you the most?
I will say, starting off, I called Travis just because I was like, bro, it's like long overdue that he's on an Abel project, because Abel's always on his. So that was cool. A lot of people speculated Lana, which, again, she's the star girl. I think she probably surprised me the most that he actually did it. Not that it surprised me that she was on it. It's just surprised me that, like, okay, I'm so glad he actually made that happen for this project. Because that's such an amazing way to go out, you know, bringing back the OG in that sense. Giorgio, big, I mean, I'll get into my top three whenever you're ready. But yeah, I was about to get into one right now. But
we'll get into that. We've got to save that for the end, you know.
I will say Lana was definitely a dope surprise feature. And even like Giorgio as well, I think that was pretty awesome. I guess he's technically a feature, but yeah.
I'd say he is, yeah. And I do love that song. I'm so happy that he brought it out. It's not how I envisioned it going from the snippet we got all them years ago, but I am so glad that it's out. And I will say that that is probably my favorite on the album.
The Abyss?
No, Big Sleep.
See, so if you wanted to get in the top threes, I caught myself because when I said Lana, I then remembered Giorgio, and I was like, oh, and Giorgio, Big Sleep. Big Sleep. Big Sleep. We were live when we were listening for the first time, and I literally, as soon as it came on, just blasted it. And when it ended, I just turned to the camera and I claimed that song. I promise you. That song is literally, it's perfect. It's so perfect. It's everything that, like, The Weeknd is in simplest forms. Because it wasn't many lyrics, but it was just so pure, you know. And then Giorgio, like, the freaking, he literally has a Scarface song now. Yes, two, technically.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more with that. It is such a great song.
Absolutely incredible.
In terms of vocal performance, Big Sleep's got some incredible vocal performance. Is there any songs where you think he really pushes himself vocally?
I mean, it's hard to look past Big Sleep because that one, I think, is the one where, dude, it's evident, like, that was the song that he went all out on. Other than that one, I would say vocally, I love Baptized in Fear. So if we want to get into the top threes again, that one is up there as well for me. Baptized in Fear is just, especially after that, like, 20 seconds of madness, whatever that track is before. It's just, it's an easy listen, but it's so deep. And he drags you. He just drags you along. And just like something as simple as like, voices will tell me that I should carry on is such a, you know, crazy way of putting, like, you know, your consciousness, your spirit, you know, whatever you choose to believe that voice in your head is, you know, whether it's someone motivating you personally, whether you believe it's God, whether you believe it's, you know, whatever it is, that drive that really keeps you going. And I think we all face times where, you know, sometimes that voice is a little quieter than others, but just it's there, you know. And I think hearing that, again, when I was listening to the first time, dude, my head went straight down and I was just consuming, or I was being consumed by everything. Like, it was just such a moment. And I think just vocally, him emphasizing the, you know, like I should carry on part is just, was everything. And then going into the transition for Open Hearts was just...
I do want to talk about Open Hearts quickly, because it does lead into the next question I have, which is, what do you think the breakout single will be? Because I thought it was going to be Open Hearts. I thought it was going to go all in on making that the lead single and then cry for you. That seems to be the direction he's going, but what do you think?
I will say, I do think, so like when Open Hearts was first premiered in Australia, we felt it, like we had the energy of it. Then we watched the video, it was cool, but I feel like that song is more like, it's easy to use it as like stuff for concepts. Like it was great at a concert, it was great for a music video, but as far as like a breakout single, I feel like Cry For Me has crazy energy to it. And the beat changes throughout the song. Like, it goes from that kind of Brazilian funk sound to more of trap towards the end, you know. And he's singing. Like, he's literally screaming all over it. And then it has a catchy, you know, freaking hook to it that by the end of the song, you know the song. I was singing the song by the end of it. So it was definitely, it was just so perfect. And then just, dun, 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 like, it was so nasty. That song is incredible. And I just think there's so much replay value there. I feel like, there's the part at the end of the song where his voice gets really distorted. And I remember just being, or just watching it, or hearing it live. And I'm just like, that's the TikTok sound. That's the part. As soon as it played, and I'm like, that's literally perfect. So I will say Cry For Me is going to be something he pushes. And it's dope that he obviously sang it live, you know, yesterday. So that was incredible, by the way.
Speaking of yesterday, the Grammys, he has made something I definitely wasn't expecting to see, as I imagine a lot of people will agree.
Yeah.
What do you think has caused him to do that, and do you think it's a good thing that he's gone back?
Well, off rip, I'll say we'll find out if it's a good thing, because at the end of the day, we make decisions in life praying and hoping, and you do it with good intentions, hoping that it's the right thing. And we just hope that, again, the Grammys do get their stuff together. I mean, even though they kind of snubbed Billie a little bit, just because I really do think Billie, I had her in my top five projects last year. Billie Eilish's album was incredible. That was kind of crazy to see, like, you know, Abel come back and he's standing on, no, you guys are corrupt. And he said what he said, all to the point where they had to become transparent and vocal. And they did literally a live apology. And that was amazing for what it was. But again, we'll see if that's what it is. I don't want Abel to win projects just because, you know, oh, it's Abel's time. Like, no, I don't like that. You know, at the end of the day, we know After Hours should have swept everything. That project literally came out at a time there was nothing going on. Like, nothing. The world stopped. And you mean to tell me the biggest project didn't even get one? Not even a nomination? Like, come on. So again, we understand it as, you know, especially as fans, we understand it. We feel like that was a personal attack. But at the end of the day, there's still faith that it can work out. And I do think where that came from him was like a genuine place of like, you know what? If you guys plan on, you know, fixing this whole thing up and being proactive to make the change, then by all means, you know, let's do it. Because at the end of the day, we stand for stuff like that. We can't grow, and we can't even support Abel technically if he's out here holding grudges. Now, we can't blame him, though, if the Grammys didn't even try. So true. If the Grammys didn't try, then it's like, okay, you know what, Abel, you're absolutely right. You know, yeah. There's a lot of people that have been boycotting the Grammys for years, so Abel isn't the first. But it is amazing to see how he really was the one to get them to get their act together. So it was like, hey, you know, he called them out, and that's what it is. A lot of people, you know, they hide behind stuff like that. And I think we knew, like I said, it's different if Abel dropped a project that wasn't all that. But that wasn't the case. That was the complete opposite of the case.
It's, you know, it's one of those where time will tell. We'll see. We'll have to wait
and
see. And, you know, hopefully he gets nominated. Yeah. Hurry up tomorrow, but for the right reasons.
Exactly. Exactly. For the right reasons and because it makes sense. We don't know what other projects come out this year. And I'm not saying they're going to obviously blow Abel's out of the water. And I'm not saying Abel's going to completely defeat him. Like, we don't know. And I do give faith to, I give credit to a lot of other artists for trying. Like, they could try. Because this one is definitely hard. But yeah.
We do know.
I know he wants to earn it.
We do know one artist that is dropping this year. And I'm telling you now, Drake.
Mm-hmm.
If Drake thinks that this album he's got coming out is going to be all that, I'm telling you now, he's got another thing coming. How are you going to follow on from Not Like Us getting 5 Grammys, Hurry Up Tomorrow coming out, and then you decide, oh, now is the perfect time to announce I'm dropping an album?
Yeah. So actually, I have a couple of things to say on that as well. And to me, it's almost wild that he's also doing a joint album. So it's not even like he took the time to go back in the lab and say, no, like, I gotta go get these guys myself. You're dropping a project with somebody else. And the crazy thing is, so if it doesn't do well first week, does he blame it on Party Next Door?
It will. Does he will.
You know what I'm saying? Like, does he hide behind that? And also, too, like, if it really doesn't do well, like, dude, you just ran back to the team, came back with somebody, and I don't know what you're expecting to get out of it. And then the timing of it as well, like, dude, that just doesn't make you look good. Like, it doesn't. No. I really think, like, I get the whole Valentine's thing, you know, all that stuff. Like, it's a cool concept. But at the same time, it's like, dude, really? Kendrick just dropped a bomb on everybody's head at the end of, you know, at the end of the year.
Exactly.
And a lot of people consider it damn near album of the year. Like, I'll put it up there. It's up there, but I won't say it's my top, respectfully. But yeah, it was still a great freaking project, and he pulled that out of nowhere. So it's like, how did he go from, you know, dissing you, making a crazy diss record, getting Grammys for it, or obviously Grammy nominated at the time, but still being like, and still being so active to work on a project on his own, and obviously have a couple features, like, and the album itself had, it felt like a concept to it. It felt like it had, like, really great production, made all that happen. And another hit on there as well, like, just the TV off one, turn his TV off. Like, all that to then, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, but Drake's answer to it is like, all right, cool, I'm gonna go live on stream a couple days, and then, like, yeah, that shit doesn't faze me, and, you know, and then I'm gonna pop out and drop this song, this album with my boy. Like, no, that's cool.
It's just going about it all the wrong way.
Yeah,
but we're
it just
not
feels
here
a little
to,
weird.
We're not here.
I give Drake credit.
About,
like I said, my first CD was a Drake CD. I do fuck with Drake. Drake's dope, but as of recent, like, I'd rather him just, like, bro, just stand on it and just freaking go crazy. Like, you came for the head tops always. It was like Summer 16. He was coming for blood, and, you know, he was on everybody's head, like, always coming at everybody's throat, always dissing people. And it's like, go ahead. Like, just keep doing it. Why you stop? Like, literally, why did you stop? Like, now it looks like you're, like, throwing up the white flag. Like, bro, it's not necessary. Keep going. You never had to stop.
Do you wish that we got an OVO XO collab album, or are you glad it's not happened? Do you think the moment came with the,
I mean,
you know, they had the collabs and that's it?
I feel like the thing is there's things that I want, and then there's things that there's still room to happen. And it's crazy because, like, I mean, if he got back with the Grammys, you never know. If Abel got back with the Grammys, you never know. But I don't know. I think part of me thinks it's kind of overdue, for sure. I think there was a time around maybe 2017, 2018, that they were, like, you know, kind of, they were popping out at each other's shows. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. This might be the era of The Weeknd and Drake. But I don't know. Maybe they're just, maybe it's not matured. Maybe, I don't know. That friendship is just so weird. And it's, if it even is a friendship at this point, Yeah. You know, there's so many ways of looking at it, but a project from them I for sure would have loved. Again, I've been a fan of both of them since the very beginning of both. So I've seen all the eras, I've heard all the eras, I've been through all that, seen both of them on tour like several times. So a project from them would be insane. And I know Abel mentioned before, like, they never got around to it because they didn't want it to seem like Drake and The Weeknd, you know? They didn't want it to be that. And obviously at the time when Drake came out, Drake was like massive. But now, I mean, it's safe to say they're getting to that point where it's both of them. So I think it's just hard too for Abel because it's like, look at what everybody's, how everybody feels towards Drake. He can't be attached to that. He can't. There's no going back on Not Like Us. It's done. You know, and a lot of those relationships, it's really like, you know what? I could be on this side, I could be on that side, or I could just be over here. And I think, as always, he's just going to be over here. Now, considering he was on We Don't Trust You and We Still Don't Trust You, it seems like he picked that side for sure. You know, he is not on Drake's side, that's for sure. But I think moving forward, I think it was a fun moment. I think he had fun. Like, yeah, I'll send some shots. It's cool. But I think moving forward, he's just over that. And we heard him speak his piece on the album a little bit as well. I think there was like lyrics where he was like, they're mad. They may think I sold my soul. Or they're mad that I own my soul. They don't think I do, but I do. And I'm like, that's crazy. But yeah.
Just real quick before we get into your top five.
Mm-hmm.
Just real quick. Crew Love, The Zone, or Live For.
Mm. I think I would go Crew Love because Take Care, that was the beginning. And when I say like the beginning, really for like my weekend stuff, I'm pretty sure the first projects I heard him on were Take Care. Pretty sure. So I just remember real quick. I just remember playing that CD and playing Black Ops, like OG Black Ops. And yeah, dude, I was the guy like playing with my headset on, and music was just blasting. You know, I didn't care. It is what it is. Yeah. That was definitely me. And I also had the clean version. And that's how I knew. I don't know if... Did you know that Abel's on Marvin's Room?
Yeah.
You knew that? So, yeah, literally, if you play the clean version, he's on the clean version. So, that's where I heard it, too. So, after the longest time, I had no idea. And I was like, oh, shit, that was him the whole time. So, that... I loved hearing him. Literally, Good Ones Go, all that. Dude, all the songs. Yeah, so Crew Love.
Well, you know, I feel like we've really dove deep into Hurry Up Tomorrow and Drake. I don't know how we got there, but we got there.
We're talking about the end and the beginning and the beginning and the end. There you go. That's what we're talking about.
But in terms of questions, I think that is it for this week's episode. So I'm going to hand it over to you, and in traditional style, ask you for your top five and why.
My top five in general, or Hurry Up Tomorrow?
In general, EXO songs.
In general. Top five in general. My goodness. It's so crazy. First one that comes ahead is We Still Don't Trust You. I don't, like, that's how you know it's a crazy feature. That feature is insane. Top five. Adaptation, As You Are. Next.
Got two more.
Don't Break My Heart.
Last one.
This is always the hardest one. Always the hardest one. Next. Faith. Duh. Crazy. Yeah, Faith. Yeah. Top five. That's obviously so hard. So hard.
That's why we ask it at the end.
No, for sure. That's insane. But it's amazing to, like, obviously look back on those tracks and think of everything now. If I had to add one, an honorable mention from Hurry Up Tomorrow, definitely Big Sleep. And That's just off pure just Abel being Abel. Yeah, when we saw him in Australia, that he sang like no other, dude. Like, I've seen him so many times, and that was just like so crazy. So I'm very excited for tour. Obviously, tour has been announced. So yes. Very excited for that. You gonna come down?
The only issue I have is trying to get a ticket.
Okay.
Otherwise, if I
so had... would you come to wherever though? Does it matter really at that point?
Doesn't matter. If I had a ticket, I'll just go.
Okay. We'll see what we can do about that. We'd definitely love to make that happen. I know, obviously, you know, a lot of stuff shifted from last time because of the Rose Bowl and stuff. There was going to be a lot of people coming down for that one. That one really hurt to call back, but at the same time, completely made sense. Yeah. Very understanding, for sure. Or very understandable. But, yeah,
definitely. No. If I had a ticket, I'd be there straight away. I really want to come and meet you, all you guys in America, you know.
Yes.
There's so much stuff that I know I could do over there. Not just meeting you guys and seeing the experience, but also, you know, doing an episode in person. Or
yeah, of course.
Doing an event in America, that would like an after party or something, that would be great to do. But I guess only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
But for now, I'm afraid this is the end of the very first episode of Season 2 of EXO Takeover. Thank you so much for everyone listening, everyone watching. We are back next Sunday and the Sunday after for the next 10 weeks. And a huge thank you to you, Abel, for being a part.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so awesome. Obviously, my first time doing something like this. Definitely incredible. Keep it going. Go crazier and crazier the rest of these seasons. And the takeover is real. I mean, it's takeover 25, so let's get it. All right, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.